بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذا المواطن عن ويصاب رحمة الله عليه had suggested to some person that you should be making ذكر جهري. In other words, in an audible manner. Do it in your masjid and do it audibly. So he came out and he says that I prefer doing the zikr softly, not audibly, for two reasons. One is that if I'm going to do it audibly, then perhaps it's going to disturb people around. And the second reason is that there may be some element of show if I'm going to do it loud. So Mawlana replied to him, no, you do it in the masjid and do it loudly. But don't do it so loudly that you'll disturb the neighbors and the surrounding. Audibly, you can hear, not disturbing anybody, but audibly. And what you complain about, show, etc., so nobody will consider you to be a pious person. Because if you're going to do it loudly, shake with the shaking of the head, then people, the most they will think of you is that it's a madman. It, shaking his head like this. So he's got Parkinson's or he's a madman. So they're not going to think of you to be a pious person. And when you say that you are afraid about show, really this is not the reason that you are interested in doing it softly and doing it at home. But the actual reason that would appear, it seems as though if you're going to do it loudly, right, then people are going to get to know that this man makes zikr, and he makes zikr loudly. So, some day or the other, the nafs may have the bit over you, you may oversleep or something. Right? When you oversleep, then they'll notice it that Mr. So-and-so is not around. They'll notice that the pious buzruk that used to make zikr, he overslept. So that will be a little bit of an embarrassment to you. Now, how to cover the embarrassment? Just do it softly at home so nobody will get to know. So now you do it in the masjid, and do it loudly. See the nafs and the shaitan, how they work with the person just to cover his embarrassment. Doing something, but now how do you manipulate the situation to cover the shame and to cover the embarrassment? And when you say that people will may call you a pious person, they don't want to call you pious. Rather, when you're going to be doing it softly, they're going to be calling you a pious person. Because if you got your head down and you're meditating, so what's going to happen, they will think, now the people around will think, hey, this person now is gone to the first heaven now, second heaven. If you don't know where he's reached, you know, he's gone too high. So this is how they will reason. People, gullibly, this is how they think, you know, this person has gone too high. So you just do it like this, nobody's going to consider you to be pious. And secondly, don't do it in a way that it's going to be disturbing. So in this part, you're going to have a lot of interference from shaitan. Then you're going to have some type of a disruption from your nafs. So these two opponents, these two oppositions are going to come all the time. Sometimes the shaitan saying you something, and sometimes it's your nafs that is intruding, telling you something. And the way shaitan is going to work, he's going to work with the pretexts of piety. See, shaitan doesn't work with every person in one and the same way. Right? He doesn't work with everybody in one and the same way. he sees the person now and he packages what he needs to package. He will package it after seeing the person. Like, for example, a person is a namazi, is righteous, is coming to the masjid. The shaitan is not going to tell him that you must go and steal, because the shaitan knows that this is going to be a wasted effort. He's not going to steal. If I'm going to tell him go to the casino or drink wine, then he's not going to do, he's not going to get himself involved in these type of things. So I'm going to spur him up to do these things here, but he's not going to do it, so my effort is going to be wasted. I need to invest my time and my strategy in something that is worth the while. So he's also a little bit sharp and smart, and he won't just tell you directly go and do anything like this. He won't tell you this much. He'll be working out a strategy that is suitable for that client. See, it's something that he needs to sell. So that's going to sell, which is suitable to the client. He'll get you in something unrelated, distracting you. Right? For example, now just around namaz time. So if it's an ordinary person, now he'll tell the person, all right, you know what? You need to read this kitab, you know, because you must know this masla. Now, you know very well that you can look at the kitab afterwards as well. Now, if you look at the kitab, what's going to happen? Perhaps you will get the jamaat, but you will miss out the sunnat that are before asr. Right? Now, how to get the person to leave out the asr sunnat? Get him to look at the kitab now, that, you know, if you look into a kitab, so much more sawab you'll get. So now this is how he's going to consume your mind. This is how he's going to disrupt you, confuse you, complicate the whole situation. Then he's so conniving now. For example, it's a pious person, he's known for his righteousness. So he won't tell him that you're going to talk to a girl, right? But very beautifully, he can be articulate and he can tell you, all right, you know, go and talk to that young boy, you know. Perhaps you'll get him closer to deen, you know. He'll become closer to deen. He'll become righteous. Now, the strategy and the cunningness of shaitan is, it's a young boy, beardless, got like a girlish face, or a little bit of beard coming out, but it's got some attraction in the face. So let me talk to him. And why he will prefer you talking to that person, to a girl, is because you're going to talk to a girl openly like this, or secretly, then your taqwa and your righteousness, your virtue will all be lost. Everybody will see it. But you talk to a boy, nobody will think anything of you. They won't think that you have some other evil intentions when you're talking to a young lad, as compared to when you're going to be talking to a girl. Here they'll say, Hazrat ka kya ho gaya? All this time he was a very righteous person. Today he took a somersault. What's wrong? He's going to talk to girls. What's happened to him? But if he's talking to a young lad and he's enjoying himself with that association, touching the person now and then, and getting some type of satisfaction, so nobody understands what he's doing. They don't know. His piety is still preserved. But discreetly he's doing that wrong. So you see how he will cover things, how he will confuse, how he will cover situations. So this is shaitan. And this is nafs. They will confuse things according to the clients. The client, I know this is my client, so I need to confuse things and cover things. Now, the work of the sheikh is to look beyond all this. He look beyond all these things here, and he is going to treat the nafs, he's going to treat the shaitan. So he needs to know what's the catalyst, where this thing is stemming from. It's a problem, and where this problem is stemming from, so that he can, his diagnosis is right, and then he can write out the right script. But the script can be right if the diagnosis is right. And the diagnosis can be right if he knows what is the catalyst, what is spurring him up onto that. See, there's something that is spurring him up to this, so I need to get this right. Now, it can happen everywhere. Anywhere it can happen. It can happen in the khanqa, it can happen in the jamaat, it can happen in the madrasa. Now there is, for example, a taqaza to go to Malawi for 40 days, right? That's a taqaza, right? But the nafs will tell you, you know what, hey, rather go for 40 days to Palestine, because Palestine you can do Umrah 10 days, 12 days. You can be in Jordan for 10, 15 days. You can go to Baitul Muqaddas, you'll get the both harams also. One time you'll get it. And you know, to get the both harams and all that, Malawi, what are you going to get? Yeah? Nothing you'll get there. No proper roads, no proper food, nothing. Yeah, you'll have a ball of a time. And overall, the cherry on the top is you'll get the both harams. Now, you're not looking at the work. You're looking at your personal advantage. The idea is to look to the benefit of the work. What is more expedient to the work? That is what you're going out for. What is more expedient for the work? And what is more expedient for your own reformation? Your reformation is to listen to the Amir. That Amir is telling you something, and your benefit, your faida, your expediency is in listening to him. Now that may be sounding very difficult. People are going for two harams and what are they going to get? And me, I'm going to sit here in Malawi, Lake Malawi, and do what? Eat chambo fish. What else am I going to do? I'm not going to get anything here, but I'd rather go for this one here. So see how the nafs plays. The nafs plays, the shaitan confuses you, and you begin to feel confident of what you are doing. But now all this is the play of shaitan, play of the nafs. See the importance of having the sheikh. He's going to try to just do this, and he's thinking about why why you should be doing this. He works you out, he understands you, and then he asks you, this is what you need to be doing. One person requested Azmaw Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh for Bayat. Seemed to be a wealthy, notable person, someone that is in the limelight, you see. So the person that is a little bit in the limelight, then he wants a little bit of respect as well. He wants a little bit of respect. He wants a little bit of recognition for what he is. So when I've seen this, from the person's behavior, you get to know, right? This person here, this is what, if he's coming for his reformation, more or less you get to know now, okay, this is what this person is after, a little bit of recognition, a little bit of publicity, a little bit of show he needs, right? Now, in the path, these are the two main obstacles. Sometimes it is takabbur, and sometimes it is shahwat. See? So the greatest obstacle in this path, these are these two. Takabbur or shahwat. One is lust, right? And one is pride and arrogance. So when they instruct you to make zikr, then they will ask you, that this is how you will start off the zikr, with la ilaha, see? As though when you are saying la ilaha, so you are striking at the head of takabbur and at the head of lust. See, now, according to the Sufis, this lust and takabbur, etc., then it's got a base, you see, where it starts off from, where it stems off from. It stems off from somewhere near the, underneath the navel. So you'll be doing with that concentration as though you're striking off at the heads, at the head of lust and at the head of pride. So everything is stemming up from these two main obstacles are coming up from here. So when you're saying La, and you struck off that head, you're smashing the head, La, and you're then throwing it off, La Ilaha, then you're throwing it off. See? These two obstacles, you're throwing it off. La, you struck it, and Ilaha, you threw it off. And then, when you threw off these both obstacles, the pure love of Allah Ta'ala, you are instilling into the heart, illallah. See? So this is now the pure love, unadulterated, uncontaminated, pure, absolutely clean, crystal love of Allah Ta'ala is being instilled into the heart. See? So many a person doesn't know this. He doesn't know that these are the obstacles. He feels the best thing for him now is to make zikr. Whether he has been instructed to do that type of zikr, not to do that type of zikr, how he must do it, he doesn't know. Let's do zikr. Now sometimes it happens that zikr has an adverse effect. See? It's like a sick person, right? See, the healthiest food is milk, is pure good milk. It's about the healthiest, most comprehensive food. it's the most comprehensive. You can't find a more comprehensive food than pure, good quality milk. That is why that is the first thing that is administered to a child for his proper development and growth. And he grows very well. Mother's milk, you can't get something equivalent to it. Right? It's the best, healthiest thing for the growth and the proper development of the child. Right? Now, someone has got a severe bout of diarrhea, then will you allow him to drink milk? Will he drink milk? But it's the best, it's the most comprehensive, the most nutritious food. But under the circumstances, that's not going to be good for you. So, same is this person. Yeah, he's got some type of a sickness. He's got a spiritual sickness. He can't detect it. So the sheikh is going to ask him to do something else. Now, his thing is, zikr is bringing so much of pleasure, so much of enjoyment, and I'm asked not to do it. The Sheikh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was dictating the letters of his Sheikh Muhammad Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi. Perhaps Mulana needed some assistance to dictate. So he was reading the letters. As he came across one letter, so the Sheikh says, the person was going so high spiritually, is going so high and so fast. And I was sure now, at this point, he's going to get Khilafat. He's going to get Khilafat. He's so high. The experiences that he's going through, what he's coming across, the dreams and the kefiyat, etc., that he's going through. Now, he's going to get Khilafat just now. And he says, Mere ta'ajjub ka intiha na raha. I was really shocked when I heard the Hazrat's answer that I had to dictate. I had to write down, you know, while Hazrat was dictating. So Hazrat's answer was, isi waqt tamam zikr aur mustahabbat ko chhod do. Ekdam sab ko chhod do. Leave out all your zikrs, all the mustahab that you are doing, you leave it out straight away. You only practice the farz and the sunnat. The mustahab, the zikr, etc., now you leave it out completely. Now the man knows what is the problem, right? He knows the problem. And having the knowledge of the path, he's asking, you will leave this thing out. Now, what is the reason? Why did he stop him from zikr? Why did he stop him from mustahabbat? Because the zikr, etc., have got a certain kayfiyat. It's got a certain unique effect. That zikr has got a certain unique effect. It brings about a refinement. In the refinement, you begin to see some things. Sometimes you see noor, you see light, sometimes you see a farishta, sometimes you see something strange, right? So your soul becomes too refined. When it becomes too refined, then you begin to see some things. Right? When you begin to see some things, then the nafs begins to play. Right? Say, you are above the rest. Right? You are above the rest. You're seeing things others are not seeing. You have reached some heights. Now, I ask you, when a person is beginning to think like this, that I am reed somewhere, and I am above the rest, you know, and these people are still battling, and I am one above. Now, is this his retrogress, or is it his progress? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes, his whole goalpost changes, the whole agenda changes. When he's beginning to see things, and he's going through some experiences, inwardly, a lot of goodness is feeling, then the whole goalpost is changed. The goal is supposed to be the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now, what is it? It is these type of spiritual experiences that he's out for. He's not out for يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانَ. That was supposed to be your actual goal, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So this is, what is this? Is this makhluk or khalik? Is it the creator that you're after, or another creation that you're after, like that person that is after some type of a worldly material thing, material goal, he's after something material, something that is makhluk, right? So this person is also after makhluk, he's not after Allah Ta'ala. When he's beginning to see light and he's seeing these type of things, then what is he after then? So you get lost within the road, within the path you're getting lost. The Shaykh will tell me, now you stop everything. Now, when you stop, when he stopped everything, those feelings will come to a low. I was going so high, so high. Now, I dropped, I crashed. I was going so high, now I crashed. Now, the person that doesn't know the path, what he will say? He will say, now my iman is gone very weak now, you know. Before I was going, when I was just moving, I was flying so high. Now my iman just went down. Now I don't have those feelings and I can't move so fast that I was moving previously. This is the person who is diagnosing his own problem. See, he doesn't have a sheikh. So because he doesn't have a sheikh, when he goes through these type of fluctuations, then he is diagnosing the thing himself. He is not supposed to be diagnosing himself. This is actually a progress for the person. Because he was as though in for a service. You know, a motor car is in for a service. He was requiring a service. So when he required a service, then he was sent to the serviceman, right? To service himself. So when he's servicing himself, it would seem that he's stationary, he's not moving. Right? Is there any movement? There's no movement. As compared to the person that is moving, this person is stationary. When he's stationary, is there any movement in him? No movement in him. As though there's no progress. But the person that knows the whole plan, he knows about a car, and after 6 months or so, they ask him, right, bring in the car for the service, and you know, you'll be parked up for about a week or 2 weeks until we do a proper, complete service, right? So, for the history of this car here, is this the better thing, or was it the better thing for the car to let it continue running? What was the better thing? The better thing was send it for a service for a week or 2 weeks. It'll give you a better service. It'll give you a longer service. Outwardly, it seems that he's jammed him up. He's not allowing him to move. But really, he actually brought the continuity in the person. You know, when you misread the situation, you think, hey, okay, what happened now? I was going so high and I just crashed. So, raaste mein ye do zabardast rukawat hoti hai. There are people in different circles, right? You know, that will talk to a crowd. In 1 minute, they'll make them cry. In another moment, they will make them laugh, you know. And in dua also, when they're making dua, they make people cry, etc. So they had that type of a talent. But then this pride got to their heads. Right? When the pride got to their heads, it smashed them right down. You're going somewhere now, two cars came to fetch you, and you're moving now. Wherever you're going, there's recognition, there's respect. So that thing came to your head. Meanwhile, you don't have anybody to guide you correctly. Or if you got someone, then it's just a formal relationship, a little bit of formal relationship. You're not going on a proper correction route. Right? When you don't have anything like this, now how easy it is for the shaitan to play games with you, because you are diagnosing your own problems. And you may not know that it's not a problem. It's a problem or it's not a problem. You don't know about it. It's just a guesswork, speculation. So nonetheless, we were speaking about this person here requesting to be initiated for bayat. He requested more time than. Well, I've seen the person, understood the person, and then diagnosed the problem that, all right, I'll be at a certain spot, a certain day you come in, inshallah, I will initiate you. So he came in, and now he came in because of a fluent class, person of recognition, a little bit status symbol he's got. So he'll come and he'll come in his style, he'll come. See, came in now, like in our context now, he came in now, for example, just pulled in with a BM, and he's got his khadims with him, attendants also. So he wants to make it like a show. So anyway, now the attendants came in and the car had to go for some other work. It went. The attendant also left and they left those two boxes of mitais. So now this bayat initiation, after the bayat, I'm going to distribute all these mitais. Okay. Now the car is gone, the attendants are gone. Right? Now, as Maulana completed the work here, Maulana says, hey, mujhe fulane mohalle mein bhi kuch kaam tha, I've got some work on the next street as well. Zara wahan chala, hum chale jaye aur wahan par dekha jayega. I got some work in that other street, and you know, there we will see how we can do the bayat. Now the attendant is gone, the BM is gone, this chacha is left with a box of mithai. Right. Now Mulana is deliberately taking those streets where people know him now. He's got the chacha, he's a big person now, and he's got the box of mithai and he's walking around. You can imagine the whole. Anyway, that ended. Mulana finished whatever he needed to do. Then again, he said, no, I got still some more work on another street. Inshallah, they will definitely do it. Again, deliberately, he weaved himself against those turns and corners where people know him. Eventually, now my work is finished, I will just take bayat. So this man here says to Mulana afterwards, says, I knew the whole plan, right? I knew what was my problem, and I knew what was happening. I knew my problem was pride. I need a little bit of show, a little bit of recognition. Right? And had it been a straightforward bayat, you know, I just came in and I had taken bayat, you know, then this pride, etc. of mine would have never been smashed. And I feel it would have never been smashed for the next 50 years. But in this one move, you know, that you made, I went into this with that box in my hand and everybody's watching me. And to the next street again I had gone and everybody's watching me with a big box of mithai, that really smashed my pride down. On my own, I would have never achieved it in the next 50 years. So you see what the Shaykh is doing. He understands what is going on. And he knows those subtle aspects of the nafs. And those subtle things of the nafs have to be smashed down. Otherwise, there's no progress. You think there's progress, because the motor car is moving. And because of its movement, you feel that progress. But you don't know that you're running the motor car down. It was the month of Ramadan, and the programs in the Khankas in the month of Ramadan changed, adjusted, because Sehri, etc., Iftar, Sehri, all that coming in between. So the programs are adjusted. People tend to sleep a little bit more in the day, right? Because the nights are a little bit long in Ibadat and all that. So the people come into the masjid at about 7, 8 o'clock. Like here, they'll come in at about 10 o'clock. Program will start at about 8:30 or later than 8:30. So there it starts off. At about 9 o'clock it starts off. Perhaps the changing of the seasons and the difference in the time. So 8, 9 o'clock it's starting off. So people will come into the masjid a little earlier, perhaps 8:30 they start coming in. So one person is seated in the masjid, and he's engaged in his zikr, etc. Now, a new graduate, an alim, maybe he's graduated for about 3, 4 years, 5 years. So he's also come in for Islah. And he came into the masjid, and he came and sat near this person that was engaged in zikr. Now, Mulana is observing from behind, as Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah is observing from behind, okay, this person is engaged in zikr, and that person came in and he came and sat right to this person, right next to this person that is engaged in zikr. So this new graduate, Mulana called him up and asked him, why did you sit in this particular spot? He said, to make zikr. Mulana says, you know, understand my question properly first. You know, the masjid is so big and huge. You left the entire masjid and you sat right next to him. Why do you sit next to him? So now he's got no answer. So then Mulana is trying to make him understand that by you sitting right next to him, does it cause a little bit of a disturbance to this person? You know, someone is engaged in zikr or in dua, right? And sometimes he wants to vent his emotions. He wants to cry, right? And at that time that he is in that state, he doesn't want to be seen. Because he wants to cry, he wants to say something to Allah Ta'ala very freely, openly, right? but you are seated right next to him, then does it disrupt his freedom or not? He wants to be free at that time, making zikr, he's crying, he wants to cry now. You know, certain feelings have overcome him that he wants to cry, he wants to shout. And now you sat right next to him. So does it disrupt him or not? Does it invade his privacy or not? His secluded thought or not? So he said, yes, no, it does. It invades that privacy, that solitude of the mind is definitely invaded. So Mona says to him now, no, is this a wrong or not? He said, no, it's wrong. So then Mora asks him, all right, now you have done this wrong, so what should be the punishment for this? You know, it's a wrong you have done, right? What should be the punishment? You have invaded his solitude, so what should be the punishment for it? So he said, Mora, whatever you suggest. So this is a new graduate, and Mora can see that he seems to be a talented person. So when the talented person, the khanka will desire to bring the person top because he's got some talent, right? So when he's got the talent, bring him top and maybe he can do work again. In his own place, he can do work. But for him to do work, he needs to understand the whole road. He needs to understand what he went through. Then he'll understand the journey. But if he doesn't understand what it is all about, then he can't cover this journey comfortably. And meanwhile, Mona can't tell him that, you know, after the end of this path here, this is what I'll confer to you. Because he's going through all the difficulty just with a little bit of an agenda, you know. This is what's going to be given to him. So it's all right, I go through the difficulty, it's all right, because I'm going to get this at the end. So no promise is made. See, it's real fana. All your intentions, your aspirations are all dashed. No aspirations, no intentions. You're just going in. So Mora tells him, all right, the mistake is committed by yourself. Then it's not fair that I should suggest the punishment. Your mistake, you must suggest the punishment. See, the idea is now to make the person think, make him understand, open his mind up. So he says, all right, Mora, what I will do is I will straighten the shoes of all the musallis. You know, I did this wrong, so I'll straighten all the shoes. So, wah, ye to aur barai ki cheez hai. You go to state in everybody's shoes, then people say, what a pious person this person. He just came in now. Mulana, he studied 5 years, after four or five years at his service somewhere, and he's straightening everybody's shoes. This is even a more worse thing. That people, you'll come into the public eye now. So, you can't make this type of a suggestion. So, no, all right, what I will do is, I will clean all the drains. You know, in India, you have a drainage problem. People are spitting and all that. So I'll go and clean all this thing here. So that's even worse. Because the shoe is a little bit easier than going clean the drains. Now Mora is preparing this person. You see, he's preparing him to think, to understand. Because tomorrow he has to do this type of work. But if he doesn't prepare him to think, then he can't understand what is the difference between this line and the other line. Clean the drains or straightening the shoe and something else what Mora wants to put him into. So he says to Mora, all right, now what I will do is then I'll move away from the khanka for some time. Now, Mora said, yes. But that's a worse punishment. See, as though in today's terms, you'll see, you know, you suspended the person. He's suspended. He's thrown out. So don't you find it difficult? You're studying in the university and you just came back for 2 weeks. I said, why? They suspended me. So isn't it an embarrassment? What do you do? What happened? The whole world is going to talk now. What happened? And that will be preserved in your mind. You know, I was in the job there and for 2 weeks they suspended me. So for many, many years it's going to be in your mind, hey, this is the treatment I went through. This is what I went through. Neither here nor there, they put me in suspense. Said, no, yeah, right, you go out. You go to Jalalabad, Hazaji Mawla Masihullah Sahib, Rahmatullah, you go and stay there for some time. Anyway, he stayed for a few days, 2-3 days. And he wrote a letter of mafi. Okay, you know, I understand my mistake. This is the reason that I wasn't supposed to be sitting right next to the person. I invaded the person's solitude and privacy. And it's a deep mistake that I made. And the mistake is that I didn't think. Now he's saying what was the reason and what was the cause that I didn't think. And I thought that I wouldn't have caused this type of a problem. See, now the islah is taking place. Islah is not only making zikr, but to think not to hurt the person, to understand, all right, now I'm coming with a car, and I'm coming in at the last moment, and I'm just parking in, you know, because I want to get the first takbir. Yeah. But how many people are you disturbing? It may be now someone has got some type of an emergency, he needs to pull off completely, immediately, and you have blocked the driveway. Now you are with itminan and a lot of tranquility, you're making your zikr, namaz, etc. And this person needs to move straight away. Perhaps he's got a cell phone, he's got a message, come home straight away. Someone needs to be taken to a doctor, or someone is going to the airport, he needs to be taken straight away. He needs to go straight away. You reading a namaz with itminan, I ask you, is there any acceptance in that namaz of yours when you're causing so much of taklif to this person? So, the reason of the problem is that you didn't think, not thinking. Okay, I'm going to take this move here, and I'm causing this type of a disturbance to this person or that person. But if you think, then you won't get yourself involved in these problems. If you think carefully, you won't involve yourself. If I'm speaking to someone, then how must I conduct myself that I don't hurt the person? Must I use this word or must I use some other word? How do I conduct myself? One time I was in his final illness, you know. So people came to pay him the visits and all that. So one Hindu also came in to pay visits. You get people of nobility, respect, and he also came in to show his respect. So I told him, you know, like how you would say it, out of consideration to a person, you took all the trouble to come and visit me. You would have asked, and I could have just showed you, you know, that I'm feeling, I'm all right, I'm recuperating. You took all the trouble. Right? So anyway, thereafter, Mona says that by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, all classes of people come to see me. All classes of people come to see me. All right. This Hindu took leave and he went away. So Mona says to the audience that is there, after the Hindu left, he got up and he left, he says to them, so I didn't say that people of all religions come to see me. Even Hindus come to see me. I didn't say that. I could have said even Hindus come to see me. I just said people of all classes come to visit me. Now, had I said Hindus also come and visit me or people of different religions also come to see me, then this would have been embarrassing to this Hindu, right? Wouldn't it be embarrassing to say non-Muslims also come to see me? Isn't it going to be a little bit embarrassing? And where I said the word, where I used the word, people of different classes, har tabqa ka admi, different classes, they come to visit me. Now, is this embarrassing? It's not embarrassing. In fact, he will feel respected. You know, I'm of a certain class. Mu'ana recognizes the class that I belong to. See? So here he will appreciate the word. And there he'll feel embarrassed. But you see, thinking a little bit, what type of use must be used, what type of word must be used, in what circumstance. So these Buzurgana Deen, they train you like that. They understand that you're going to be working amongst people. When you're going to be working amongst people, then how should you be conducting yourself? Anyway, this person writes a letter and he sends it. So Mulana says, yeah, sab maaf hai, dil saaf hai, tum wapas tashreef le aaye. Everything is forgiven, and my heart is clear for you, and you may come back. But that person says, you know, that treatment that I went through, you know, I couldn't have achieved it in 20 years. I went out like I was on suspense, not here, not there, and, you know, I felt the type of ghabrat. But after that, I understood this very well. I understood the concept very well. So I say these are two great obstacles on the path. Sometimes it's takabbur and pride, and sometimes it is shahwat. One person wrote up to Maulana, and very, very close to Maulana, and he wrote that, "I got a problem with my lust. I can't seem to be controlling my lust. Maybe I'm not engaged in zina, but then porn and woman, etc., then I can't seem to be controlling myself in that regards. In the meanwhile, he's very much attached to Maulana. Now he complains about himself that I can't control this. Something comes across, then I have to see, I have to watch, take the type of enjoyment." So Maulana first asked him, "Ye ikhtiyari hai ya ghair ikhtiyari hai? To control your eyes, is it something within your choice and volition or out of your choice?" You know, when a person is sleeping, right? And in his sleep, he's snoring away, right? Or he's swearing someone in his sleep. Do you hold him answerable for that? Why? Why don't you hold him answerable? He's saying it involuntarily. Involuntarily saying, so you don't hold him answerable. You don't hold him answerable for that. Right? But when you saw a girl and you stared, now was this a voluntary action or involuntary action? It's a voluntary action. So Maulana asked him, you know, is this a voluntary action that you watch or involuntary? He said, yeah, it's a voluntary thing, but I can't just hold myself. Now Maulana starts the treatment now. He said, all right, you know you what you do? Until you don't find the determination in yourself to lower your gaze immediately, you know, on the first encounter, you just had an encounter and immediately you lower your gaze. Until you don't find that determination, you don't come to me, you don't have any future correspondence with me. No future correspondence, you don't come and even visit me. Now, the person received the letter. In 1 week, he was sorted out. He said, "Mola, now I'll never do this now. If you ask me to read 10,000 rakat in the nafil namaz, I'll do it. But not to come to you, not even to write to you, that I can't manage. How you expect me to manage this?" Now really, this cure of Maulana, you know, wasn't a treatment that was harsh. In my understanding, it wasn't a harsh treatment. It was the deep-rooted compassion of Maulana that made him understand, okay, this person here can only straighten up if we use this line, then only he will understand. If you don't use this line, we use a mild line, then he won't come right. You know, for that one look that you made, read 2 rakat namaz. It's easy, man. Every day I can do this. 2 rakat namaz, 4 rakat namaz, you can do it. It's a wealthy person, you know, for every look, you must give 10 rands. Hey, every day I can give 10 rands, not a problem. Every look, I can give 10 rands. Sorry, that penalty is easy. But this penalty here, that I mustn't come here and I mustn't even correspond to Maulana, this is something I can't manage. Because of the deep-rooted friendship that he's got. See, now that friendship was cut off completely. I can't manage this here. That other thing, read 2 rakat namaz, do something else as a penalty for the wrong that I'm doing, atoning for the wrong, that is manageable. This I can't manage. Now in 2 weeks he got himself sorted out and he's written back to Maulana that he... That even the stray thought of looking at a girl doesn't occur to me now. But he needed that type of a double dose injection, you know. He needed that Voltaren, he needed. An ordinary penicillin wasn't enough for him. He needed a Voltaren, double Voltaren. That thing did the job, you see. But now this was the compassion of Maulana and his understanding of the situation. See, I need to understand this. I need to get him right. Now, if Maulana doesn't get him right, now you can understand the consequences of temptation, you know, desire, temptation, out of control, unfettered, and uncontrolled, what it makes you do. The wrong that it can create. Pride and ostentation, right? Show and arrogance, and what it can cause you, what it can lead you to do, eventually. Starts off small, and what it can lead you to do afterwards. So it's easy to check it right at the beginning. Like I said early on, you know, a sickness, it's more important that you treat the smaller sicknesses than the major sicknesses. The major sicknesses, you know, automatically you will go and treat yourself. You will just go and duke into a hospital and go and check yourself up properly. But the small sicknesses you're not worried about. Now, when you're not careful about these small sicknesses, this is the thing that creates a big problem afterwards. So Moha checks his problems and immediately he corrects the person. Now this Mashaykh, this Buzurgan Adin of the past, this is what they used to, how they should correct. They'll think of a plan, of a strategy, how to correct the person. As the Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was a very senior leading Buzurg and one of the elders of the Jamaat of Pakistan, right? Most senior persons of Pakistan he used to be. So he graduated around the time of Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. And he came into the Markaz Nizamuddin to spend some time. As he came in to spend some time now, it's the time of Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he knows now the background of the person. He can see him to be a very talented person. But he's just come out of the box. So the Islah will be required. So Mu'tazim, you know, you go to this Nizamuddin station, there is a Jama'at that is coming, just go and receive them. Bring them, you know. So he went there, now it's summer, and Mu'a is sending him around just before Zawal, you know. 11 o'clock. Mid-heat, 45 degrees, 45, 50 degrees. Temperatures are going very high. He's waited almost 3 hours, no train, no train there, nobody came. His frustration, Mu'a's MP here in this heat. I have to go and spend 3 hours here, and I didn't get any Jama'at coming in. So, anyway, first day ended. So Mu'a said, no, I think they're coming the next day. So send him again for the second day. Again, now his frustration is just building up, you know, building up. See, he's new now, you know, new person, not married, then the anger goes higher, you know, because there's nowhere to take out all that heat. So the anger goes even higher. So the second day, the third day, then he comes to Mu'a and says, Mu'a, you can send me for any amount of days to the station, I'll go. I understand the plan now. I understand the plan that this I must get out of myself. See, I. Why did me do this thing here? I, you know. I was, the head of that I was chopped off. When the head of that I was chopped off, I said, well, now you can send me. I understand the whole plan. Alhamdulillah, that 3 days that you sent me out, that ego of mine is smashed down. See? So that ego, to break that ego is so important. Without that smashing that ego, you can't progress in this path. Anyway, we were supposed to speak about that Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi story. So some other day we'll speak about it.